Homily for Monday, the 21st of November. What I'd like to do this morning is repeat to you the homily I gave over the weekend on Saturday evening and Sunday morning. And I do so because we celebrated the feast of Christ the King. And it's such an important feast that the themes that are developed by the feast and in the feast, I think, are important for us to take to heart. So this is the homily given over the weekend. We celebrate the feast of Christ the King. Officially, we even call Christ the King of the universe. In preparing for a feast like today's, the Church takes great pains to compose prayers and to select readings that speak to exactly what we should recall and thank God for. That process of preparation begins with the selection of what's called the Entrance Antiphon. Usually it's a text from Scripture that points to the core of the feast being celebrated. The Entrance Antiphon wants to focus our mind and set the mood for all that is to come in the liturgy, all the prayers and readings. So please listen to today's entrance antiphon for the Feast of Christ the King. It's taken from the Book of Revelation, which is also called the Book of the Apocalypse. It says, "How worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy to receive power and divinity, and wisdom, and strength, and honor. To him belong glory and power forever and ever." This entrance antiphon puts us squarely before Jesus hanging dead from the cross. And in that sagging, brutally scarred body, it would have our imagination see power and divinity, see wisdom and strength, see glory, even God's own glory. It's calling for a complete reversal, a turning upside down of all our images of power and glory. And it's that reversal that is the revelation. This revelation, this apocalypse, takes us not just to what love says. Very dramatically, it takes us to what love actually does and suffers, to what love stands ready to undergo. And what the antiphon announces, we then see in lived detail in the gospel. This is how Jesus' kingship actually plays out on the cross. Here is how our Almighty, all-holy God chose to reveal his inmost self to us and to draw us to himself. We see undoubted weakness and humiliation, a naked body, wounded and degraded. And yet we begin every prayer making the sign of the cross, as we call upon God by name, Father, Son, and Spirit. Here. Here on the cross, we say. Here is God's clearest, God's most human, God's most eloquent revelation. Here, God says to us, I am. This is who and how I am. Nothing else could adequately reveal to us the true reality of God. And that's because we are so self-seeking. Left to ourselves, we imagine God much in our own likeness, but on a larger scale. And so we imagine a God who controls the world as we imagine control. And a God who controls with benevolence as we imagine benevolence. And usually that means making life easier for ourselves. But before God's great I am on the cross, we are called to unself ourselves and our lives. We are to live into God's life as we learn to give ourselves away, living in God and living for others. And so we imagine, we hope and work for a world where God's life and love is done, and is done by us. It's the world Jesus taught us to pray for, Thy kingdom come. It's the world where daily bread is given and shared, where forgiveness becomes our way of life, where we work to deliver one another from any evil there may be. Such a world, such a kingdom, shouts out to the world God's own I am. It's there, in such a world, such a kingdom. It's there in such a community, in such a church, in such a parish. It's there that Christ is truly King.